Hi, everyone. Thank you for pushing that play button on another episode of Chriselle Counseling's Hope Through the Journey podcast, where we provide hope through the constant challenges along our journey of life. We're sharing actionable resources, strategies, tips, and tools that you may need along the way. Our podcast is designed to help you create the life balance you're looking for. We're also working to help shatter the stigma associated with mental health by talking about it in a way that we can all understand. So thank you again for choosing to spend your valuable time on your podcast platform of choice by being with us. I'm your host, Alfred Chriselle Jr., and I'm joined today by my co-host, fellow licensed professional counselor, my sister, Lethe Chriselle. Lethe, how have you been?
Wow, that is such a loaded question right now. Where to begin? Well, I did go on tour for about a month. You know,
it's been a while.
Some travel time. I know. I guess you figured something was up when I didn't show up for the podcast recordings.
Yeah. So I wonder what
where I had
kind of missed those.
I mean, once the anxiety of actual travel settled down, I really pushed into my self-care routine.
Good for you.
Spending time with family, reading some books, appreciating and enjoying the scenery around me. Of course, there was a spa day in the mix along with dinner and a Broadway show. I mean, it was New York, you know?
Yeah.
Those streets make you feel brand new. Isn't that what the song says? So now I'm back. I'm refreshed. And that means that I've restarted a routine I have let slide. Can you guess what it might be?
Well, I mean, I know you've talked before about a lot of different routines, so it could be anything. But if I had to guess, an exercise program?
Womp womp. Good guess, but you are incorrect.
Oh, okay, well.
I am back on the journaling track. I'm excited and cautiously optimistic for myself.
Excellent.
As I've shared before, I've struggled with consistency when it comes to journaling, so I really have to work on being intentional about it.
Yeah.
I need to build up to reach that long-term goal with short, specific, attainable ones. You know what I mean?
Oh, that sounds like a smart one.
Small improvements every day until it becomes a habit.
That's right. So, yeah, intentional. That's a great word that you use there. Yeah. And I'm always thinking about habits and how important they are. And literally everything we do, right? I'll give you a quick example. The other day I was sitting in my wife's vanity and I noticed the many products that she has. The ones she uses for her face and all that kind of thing. And not that she necessarily needs that, because I like to tell her all the time that I love her just the way she is. But I get it. She wants to take care of herself, and I can respect that. Anyway, I called her over and asked her what each product was used for. And after she explained her routine to me, it struck me that she's gotten into the habit of her morning and nighttime face routine and does it without fail, like every single night and day. And I learned to appreciate it when I myself started my own nighttime facial routine with your typical facial cleanser, toner. Well, you get the picture, right?
I mean, I remember being with you when you were looking for some of those products.
Anyway, I came to appreciate the commitment that women and men make in this habit. Because like everything we do, the more we do something, the better we get at it.
Right.
And what is it that you say about practice, Lethe?
Well, before I answer that, let me just say kudos to you in maintaining a facial routine. Okay. That is
thank you.
Something. Well, I am impressed. I always say practice makes permanent.
That's right. Well, habits like this morning routine that we're talking about are developed over the course of a whole lot of practice. And there are a lot of physical health habits like this, like brushing our teeth, for example,
right,
that we do that impact our mental health as well. We always talk about sleep, nutrition, and exercise, you know, the big three that we talk about, because they're foundational areas of our lives that have some of the biggest outcomes on our lives. And let's be reminded also here about the body-mind connection, right? I mean, my last blog post was all about this.
Wait, for those of us who may have missed that blog, can you summarize it for us now?
Sure. By the way, if you're not a subscriber to the blog post and you're listening to us now, head on over to our website and sign up to be one. You'll even get a freebie called 10 Ways to Stop Overwhelm Now. So check it out, chriselcounseling.com, chriselcounseling.com.
Woo! Check it out. To get that in.
Yeah. Well, but to summarize, going back to the blog post, the idea is that our body and mind are one. They're intertwined. Physical health impacts mental health and vice versa. And it's not my opinion either. The research bears this out to be true. People with physical ailments have been shown to experience mental health conditions like depression and anxiety. It's true also that people with mental health issues develop physical ailments. And the data doesn't lie, as they say. I'm a big believer in this body-mind concept, and if you've been following us for a while, then you know this is a common theme in our message. And that's why mental health habits are so important, because they impact us physically as well as mentally.
100%.
Now, I know I shared a few habits already, but are there others that you can talk about here to give our audience some ideas and options in creating some solid mental health habits?
Right. So the four habits that we're going to break down are physical activity, sleep patterns, mindfulness and meditation, and social connections.
Oh, good.
So let's start with physical activity because I feel like it's an easy one to explain.
Yeah.
So bottom line, we just need to move our bodies.
Movement.
Going for a walk, doing some stretches, dancing, a bike ride, a pickleball game with a friend. Activities are endless. Starting with 15 to 30 minutes a day, it's about staying active. So what happens is when we exercise, we get brain boosting benefits. And exactly how much exercise is needed to get these brain boosting benefits? Well, I'll tell you. According to a 2018 Lancet psychiatry study, exercising 45 minutes a day, 3 to 5 times a week is ideal. But even a single exercise episode can positively impact processes such as mood and attention. So even small amounts of exercise can have a big impact on our mental and physical health. According to the same study, regular exercise can help reduce poor mental health days by 43.2%.
And there you go. More scientific evidence to show the correlation between physical and mental health. But again, we spend a lot of time and energy focusing on our physical health and not so much on the mental health side.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, let's take a look now at how our sleep patterns can affect our mental health.
Oh, this is a big one.
The bottom line is the healthier that our sleep habits are, the healthier our mental health.
Repeat that again. I just feel we need to repeat that.
The healthier our sleep habits are, the healthier our mental health. Think of your brain like a car. In order to get anywhere, a car needs a full tank of gas to move, right? Well, some nowadays may need to be charged, but I'm thinking of my car to make my point here. So anyway, the fuel for the car is gas, and the fuel for a healthy functioning brain is sleep. It's the brain's opportunity to rest and recharge.
I love it.
This is also when the brain processes emotions and memories. But when we don't get the sleep we need, there's a disruption that occurs which makes us vulnerable to mood swings. We become more impulsive. We don't think things through because we don't have the bandwidth to.
Yeah, that's right. And sleep, you touch on it, how important it is, but we're just touching the surface here with regard to sleep. I mean, go Google sleep, the importance of sleep, and you will find tons of research on how it impacts your mental health and physical health. So,
you know, and what I do share also with my clients, if you're having trouble setting healthy sleep habits, start by setting a regular time to be in bed, not necessarily asleep, but just get into bed by, for example, 10 p.m. Start with your nightly routine, whether it's having a warm cup of tea, reading a few pages in a book, washing your face. You get the idea. Get your body and brain used to getting into bed at the same time every night.
And I think an obstacle to this is social media, right? Or just the technology, devices.
Right. That's the other thing, is like put the phone away or just move it. You know, turn it face
obstacle.
Down.
It's an obstacle to setting a routine, to setting a healthy routine.
Right. Just try this. Once you're in bed, do some deep breathing to calm your brain and body, which leads me to another mental health habit, mindfulness and meditation. Yeah, we hear a lot about mindfulness and meditation, and there's good reason. Research indicates that long-term meditation practices can lead to structural changes in the areas of the brain related to emotion regulation, learning, and memory. Different practices include breath awareness, gratitude practices, body scan meditations. We've mentioned these before.
Yeah, we've mentioned these quite a bit before. As a matter of fact, I think we devoted a whole podcast
a whole episode, meditation.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard, listen to that one, go back and look at those. We did some actual ones on that.
Yes,
on
we
that
did.
Podcast, mm-hmm. So people can go back and refer to that. Yeah, mindfulness meditation. I know this scares a lot of people, right? We talked about it before. It scares a lot of people sometimes. They don't think it's necessary. But again, the research shows, right? It's not something we're making up. It's not our opinion. It's not what we think. But we're talking about what the research shows about how important this is. So,
and you know, a lot of times we think, well, I can't do it. I get distracted. But that's the whole idea, is bringing yourself back to, you know, refocusing yourself. And that's all part of the practice. Okay, finally, a fourth habit to develop is social connections.
Ooh.
They can have a profound impact on mental health in so many ways. Mm. It's the emotional support. Knowing that others care about us can boost our mood and our resilience.
That's true.
Social connections also influence our behaviors, which include habits related to diet and exercise. Yeah. Think of an accountability partner. So where do we find these connections? Family and friends, but there's also more to be found in church, a pickleball court, a book club, when everybody can agree on a book to read. I mean, where else, Al?
You talk about a book club. You talked about reading earlier. I myself have been diving into some psychological thrillers, and they're quite interesting.
Love those.
Quite interesting. But it's a good habit to just read as well, too. Speaking of reading, I read an amazing book recently called Practical Optimism, The Art, Science, and Practice of Exceptional Well-Being by Dr. Sue Varma. She devotes an entire chapter to the practice of healthy habits. And I love how this just tied in perfectly with what we're talking about today. And I can't help but note some things that she says. Among other things about habits, she says that we are what we're used to, and we can change what we're used to. I love that.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I love that. Habits are a neural connection. They're made in our brain. And we can change it by feeding it the right stuff. Speaking of feeding, Let, I'm thinking of the story of the two wolves. I know you've heard it, and maybe even some of our audience has heard it. Incidentally, Dr. Varma mentions this story in her book as well, but I want to share it because it correlates nicely with mental health habits and how to cultivate them and eventually make them automatic. So the old Native American parable goes like this. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life, and he says to his grandson, "A fight is going on inside me. It's a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, ego, false pride. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, empathy, kindness, generosity, compassion, faith." And he continued, "The same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person too." And the grandson looked at his grandfather and he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." I love this story because it's a good reminder and visual as to what wolf we are feeding daily.
You know, I love it too. And I love the picture that it gives. I'm a visual learner, so I can see this ongoing battle in my mind. And it's not always an easy one for the good wolf to win in my head.
Yeah, but it really does. If we look at it, again, the visual of these two wolves, and which one are we feeding? Because that's the one that's going to win. And we talk about these mental health habits. Our mental health habits are feeding the good wolf, right?
Right.
They're feeding the good wolf so that we can be the best version of ourselves. And we talk about building habits. I can refer to Atomic Habits, another one of my favorite books by James Clear. And one I highly recommend to everyone. He states that creating good habits requires implementing the four laws of behavior change. The first law of behavior change requires you to make what you want to do obvious. In other words, determine what your current habits are now to become aware of them, and then get specific of your intended behavior change and make it specific. What time and place? For example, I will take a walk around my neighborhood at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, and then place it in your calendar. We all know that if it's not on the calendar, it's not going to get done. And making it obvious means placing the thing you want to do close to you. An example here would be if you want to have the habit of reading more, then place books next to your nightstand where you can see them every time you go into your room or go to bed. Or if you want to exercise, place the yoga mat or set of weights where you can see them on a daily basis.
It's like you're in my apartment right now. I have stacks of books on my nightstand, my coffee table, and in my office because I want to start a walking routine. Again, I lay out my clothes, walking shoes, earphones, and I tell myself, I have excuse.
Right, right. It's like out of sight, out of mind type of thing, right? It's the same kind of thing. The second law of behavior change he talks about is making it attractive. In other words, look for groups that are doing the same things that you're trying to build. Yeah. Going back to the reading example, join a book club, like you talked about a little while ago. This will hold you accountable and help you stick to your habit of reading. Yeah. Or if pickleball is your thing, go out and join groups that are playing pickleball. Make the habit attractive. You're more likely to make it permanent that way. The third law of behavior change is make it easy. Habits are formed by repetition, not time. So it doesn't matter how long you do something. What matters is the frequency of doing it. Here, it's just about showing up and pressing play, whether that's for 5 minutes, 30 minutes, or 2 hours. Just start doing it and keep doing it.
You know, when I'm talking to my clients, I tell them the same thing. You want to get back to going to the gym? Day one, just drive yourself there, even if that's all you do. The next day, drive yourself there and then get out, go inside. Baby steps.
Absolutely. James Clear talks about the 2-minute rule for making it easy.
Right,
and he
says
that when you start a new habit, it should take less than 2 minutes to do. And a habit starts with something easy, like you said, putting it out there, right? Putting on your running shoes, for example, if I want to start walking for exercise. Or meditating for 1 minute, if I want to do a mindfulness practice. Or reading one page, if my goal is to read more. You get the idea here, right? Make it easy.
And that's important to remember, making it easy. Mm-hmm. We sometimes make things bigger than they have to be, which in turn can become overwhelming.
Yes.
So definitely remember to make it easy.
All right, finally, the fourth law of behavior change here is to make it satisfying. Now here we're talking about small wins. Feeling good about doing the intended behavior one step at a time. It's about seeing progress over the course of time. James Clear talks about focusing on the process over the goal. So if you want to read 5 books by the end of the year, remind yourself that you are a person who reads process over the goal. That may look like 1 page one day, 10 pages on another day, maybe 2 chapters on another day. You will realize your goal and continue past it because you are a person who reads. And this can be applied with any habit formation.
You know, another thing to consider is to treat yourself. It's okay to reward yourself for the small accomplishments.
Yeah.
It can be intrinsic motivation or a coffee run.
There you go. and here I want to go back to Dr. Varma's book for a bit and talk about what she calls the 4 M's of mental health, which coincide with everything we've talked about already. And she calls these 4 M's the core of the title of her book, Practical Optimism, that both lengthen life and improve the quality of life. So I want to talk about these a little bit. They are mastery, which is learning and getting better at something you care about, a hobby, a skill, for example. In my case, I'm trying to learn how to play the piano. I want to kind of master that a little bit. But again, talking about mastery there to improve the quality of life. Movement is another one she talks about, which, by the way, let movement has now replaced my word exercise. I'm no longer saying exercise anymore. I have replaced it with the word movement.
Well, you know what? Since you told me that, I really am trying to make this effort to say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to move. Yes. I've got to move.
Yes.
And get up and move.
Yes, yes. Love that. But movement is exercise and staying active.
Right.
Okay. Meaningful engagement is another one she talks about. And this is what you talked about, social connections, that human connection, whether we're with family, friends, colleagues, or through volunteering, right? Social connection, meaningful engagement. And then she finally talks about mindfulness, and we've talked about that too. And I love how it coincides with what we're already practicing here too, that. But mindfulness, again, practicing being present during any routine activity and practicing 10 to 15 minutes of deep breathing or expressing gratitude, appreciating nature. I mean, any one of those are good mindfulness activities. But all healthy, productive practices that will add years and quality to our lives.
Right, right. Okay, so We know what we're supposed to do. We know how to do it. This all sounds great and wonderful until we start coming up with reasons why it's not so great and wonderful. So let's jump to what I think all of us can completely relate to.
Talk about the womp womp.
Exactly. The challenges that can get in the way of our follow through in developing these habits, because let's face it, it's real.
Yep.
Are you familiar with the phrase, ain't nobody got time for that?
I think I've heard that one.
Well, we tell ourselves we're too busy and we can't possibly fit one more thing into our schedule. Yeah. But the truth is, we have to make the time. It's like you said earlier, put it on the calendar.
Yeah.
Set an alarm to remind you it's time. Again, start slow and steady. And that's how we build on consistency in our practices. Another big one is motivation. I'm going to be very transparent here. You've heard me say, I know what I need to do. I just don't do it. Mm-hmm. I've said that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have had that same thought at one time or another. As a matter of fact, I'm going to quote from the book you mentioned earlier, Practical Optimism.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Varma shares that more than 75% of the time, people know what needs to be done regarding recommendations and guidelines for sleep, exercise, and nutrition, yet they still don't do it. Mm-hmm. She also says, get ready for this piece of wisdom, motivation is overrated.
Yeah.
Love that. Automation is the key to success.
Mm.
What? What? Think about it. The more we practice something, the better we get at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The better we get, the easier it becomes to do, and it becomes a habit. It becomes something automatic to us. We no longer have to think about doing it. We just do.
Right. And that gives evidence to what we talked about earlier when I was talking about James Clear and the Atomic Habits, with the frequency of a particular behavior having a bigger impact on the creation of a habit over the length of time spending doing it.
Right. See, now it'll be easy. Definitely not. There will be setbacks. Mm-hmm. Something else suddenly comes up, the I don't feel like it, and that's okay. It's going to happen from time to time.
Yeah.
But what do? We start over again.
Yeah. Do it again.
Write it down, put it on the calendar, call that accountability partner or your friend to help you reset.
Exactly. Again, frequency and consistency are what creates automaticity.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get out there and start practicing some productive mental health habits we can feel good about. So we sincerely hope today's podcast has been informative and inspirational. I know it has been for me. We are so grateful and thankful to you for taking time out of your day to listen to today's show. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends, post it on social media, or forward the link to anyone. You don't want to miss a single episode of the podcast, so hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. If you're so inclined, we'd appreciate a review of our podcast on that platform that you're listening to. And as I mentioned earlier, if you want more from us, you can sign up for our blog by heading over to our website, CrishellCounseling.com, CRIXELLCOUNSELING.com. Become a subscriber today. I'm on Instagram, so follow me on my Instagram account, CrishellJr.Alfred. Where can our listeners follow you on social?
They can find me on Instagram at Anna Crishell. Once again, thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast. Take time to reflect on what we shared today. Did something resonate with you? Maybe do some additional reading from the books we referenced today. Atomic Habits by James Clear and Practical Optimism by Dr. Sue Varma. Those are our go-tos right now.
That's right.
Remember, practice makes permanent.
Oh, thank you, Let. Life is a journey, everyone. Thank you again for allowing us to share a little piece of our life with you. Remember, you're not alone. We're in this together. We got this, everybody. Talk soon.
Goodbye.